Church was there, and art was held as a high and holy thing. In Rome lived the greatest painter in the world, Raphael. There also dwelt the first of sculptors, Michelangelo. Even the Pope paid homage to these two and honored them with a visit. Art was recognized and honored, and was rewarded also. But for all that, everything great and splendid was not seen and known. In a narrow lane stood an old house. Once it had been a temple, a young sculptor now dwelt there. He was young and quite unknown. He certainly had friends, young artists like himself, young in spirit, young in hopes and thoughts. They told him he was rich in talent and an artist, but that he was foolish for having no faith in his own power, for he always broke what he had fashioned out of clay and never completed anything. And a work must be completed if it is to be seen and to bring money. "You are a dreamer," they went on to say to him, "and that's your misfortune. But the reason of this is that you have never lived. You have never tasted life. You have never enjoyed it in great wholesome draughts, as it ought to be enjoyed. In youth, one must mingle one's own personality with life, that they may become one. Look at the great master Raphael, whom the Pope honors and the world admires. He's no despiser of wine and bread, and he even appreciates the baker's daughter, the pretty Fornarina," added Angelo, one of the merriest of the young friends. "Yes, they said a good many things of the kind, according to their age and their reason. They wanted to draw the young artist out with them into the merry wild life, the mad life, as it might also be called, and at certain times he felt an inclination for it. He had warm blood, a strong imagination, and could take part in the merry chat and laugh aloud with the rest. But what they called Raphael's merry life disappeared before him like a vapor when he saw the divine radiance that beamed forth from the pictures of the great master, and when he stood in the Vatican before the forms of beauty which the masters had hewn out of marble thousands of years since, his breast swelled, and he felt within himself something high, something holy, something elevating, great and good, and he wished that he could produce similar forms from the blocks of marble. He wished to make a picture of that which was within him, stirring upward from his heart to the realms of the infinite. But how, and in what form? The soft clay was fashioned under his fingers into forms of beauty, but the next day he broke what he had fashioned, according to his want. One day he walked past one of those rich palaces of which Rome has many to show. He stopped before the great open portal and beheld a garden surrounded by cloistered walks. The garden bloomed with a goodly show of the fairest roses. Great white lilies with green juicy leaves shot upward from the marble basin in which the clear water was splashing, and a form glided past, the daughter of the princely house, graceful, delicate, and wonderfully fair. Such a form of female loveliness he had never before beheld. Yet stay, he had seen it. Painted by Raphael, painted as a psyche, in one of the Roman palaces. Yes, there it had been painted, but here it passed by him in living reality. The remembrance lived in his thoughts, in his heart. He went home to his humble room and modeled a psyche of clay. It was the rich young Roman girl, the noble maiden, and for the first time he looked at his work with satisfaction. It had a meaning for him, for it was she. And the friends who saw his work shouted aloud for joy. They declared that this work was a manifestation of his artistic power, of which they had long been aware, and that now the world should be made aware of it too. The clay figure was lifelike and beautiful, but it had not the whiteness or the